Wow, is crypto ever crashing? We are going to cover the markets just faltering in the last couple of days. Bitcoin dropping to low 80s as we got people in the chat. Cloudy Vibes saying sup fam, what's going on? Cloudy Vibes, and we got Bigums in the chat also. Hey, and what a red day. It is indeed a red day. We're going to cover all that today. Still got some positive Algorand news, and we got a new Fed chair named coming soon. We're going to talk about what that means for crypto. So we'll get to all that on today's FrugalBC live stream. Sorry, we are a little late, and we are not on Kick today. Had a little trouble with Kick for whatever reason. Well, I had problems first off with Stream Elements, and apparently all I had to do was reset completely. Green Blue in the chat saying present. GM, yeah, GM Green Blue, glad to have you here. And I got all the regulars coming out right now. That's good to see. Yeah, so I opened up, probably about 15 minutes ahead of time, usually more than enough time to get the stream ready. And well, what happens? Stream Elements is disabled on my OBS, and I had to spend a whole lot of time fixing it. All I had to do, by the way, is reset my computer, and then it worked. I went to usually I have, technical problems. I go to ChatGPT, and it was giving me all these crazy instructions that turned out all of it. All I really had to do was, and I probably should have went right to the Twitter page of Streamlabs or Stream Elements, excuse me. Went there, turned out they had fixed something, and turned out they had some issue, login issue that they fixed. And all I had to do is reset my computer, not just shut down OBS, which wasn't even open at the time, but reset it. Then it worked. And for whatever reason, Kick is acting up. So I am not live on Kick, but I am live on Twitch, on YouTube, and on X today. So if you're just joining us, please hit that like button. As I say, you don't have to smash it. You can actually just press it gently, and it works just fine that way too. Also, if you're not a subscriber already, I'd appreciate you hitting that subscribe button so you can see all our videos. We live stream twice a week and then share clips from those live streams throughout the week. So whichever one you enjoy, if you enjoy the live streams, you have that option. And you can usually watch most of the segments. We do have a podcast. Hit a little technical snafu there where it's not. I have a program which downloads the YouTube video and creates an MP3 that I can then put through Audacity and edit and stuff. And that was not working. So we are behind on that. I apologize for that. We'll try to get this one out there. And FrugalBC on all your podcast apps, you can listen to it on the go. But anyway, we're starting a little late, so why don't we just dive right into the markets, which are about as red as you can imagine. Green Blue saying the thesis hasn't changed. Well, it depends what your thesis is. If you were counting on a altcoin season, I'm starting to think that's just not a thing that's going to happen. We haven't been able to sustain any kind of rally. And there's some theories behind that. I think there's been some theories that there never really was a 4-year cycle that was revolved around the Bitcoin halving, and you see that it is lengthening. So some people just said it was a general liquidity cycle that happened to coincide with Bitcoin's halving, which kind of makes sense because there was usually a bull run before and after, so it's not like it didn't map perfect. It never mapped perfectly to that cycle, but it seemed to be a good indicator. And now those days seem to be gone. You can see Bitcoin falling 8% on the 7-day and 2% over the 24-hour, kind of even right now. Almost identical for the CoinMarketCap 20 index. Ethereum down to 2,700. Bitcoin at 83,000. So yeah, nothing really looks good except for Monero's up a little bit on the 24-hour. Canton moving. Canton has just kept moving up. And this is one of those ones you can't get on Coinbase. I saw some complaints about this, and it kind of makes sense because it seems like you have these coins that are, it's a layer one. it seems, as far as I can tell, pretty solid. And you can't get it on Coinbase, which seems kind of strange. One of the few that tends to move counter to the market. But otherwise, yeah, we're mostly just seeing a sea of red. I mean, there's not much pie up 3% on the day, but still down on the week, like most things. Pump.fun still posting a weekly green candle. That's kind of good to see. Jupiter up a little bit, but most things down. Oh, Stable did pretty well. I don't know much about that. Despite what you might believe, not a stable coin. That's a new one I haven't seen on here. Double Zero is another one I haven't seen. So there's some new ones moving their way up. EURC actually coming up too. That's interesting. Yeah. Let's see what's the best and worst. If we do 24-hour, yeah, like we said, Canton, then Lighter, Monero up there, Pi, Double Zero. But nothing too exciting. And then on the 7-day, we actually got Hyperliquid up 30% on the 7-day. That's pretty good. Stable up 24%. Like I said, kind of a new entrant in the into the top 100. Canton 18% on the week. I have to look into where can you buy Canton? This one has just been hot. Hey, we got Masked Mage in the chat saying Algorand has been crashing for 6 years. Well, that's not entirely true, but it's mostly true. yeah, here's Canton. Where can you get it? You can get it on Bybit, Gate, KuCoin, MEXC, Kraken, XT, all those. So lots of other places to buy it except for Coinbase. I think sometimes they're just behind on some of these coins. I really do. Well, since you say that, why don't we pull it up? Because in a way, you're kind of right. So we'll talk about how he's actually kind of right. Cloudy Side says, forgot all about this live. Well, we're here now, so we're here. Wait, is it not gonna allow? I'm gonna go to regular view all time. So in a way, you're right because of this botched launch, which I was a little embarrassed. I hadn't really looked at this too closely until DZ from the now former BitBoy crypto channel came on my show, and that was like 2, 3 years ago now, probably three at least. Yeah, three at least, maybe 4 years. It launched at like $3.20, almost 28 cents. Kind of hit a peak here of trying to get it. Yeah, two. I remember like 2.26. I know people say it flashed higher, but the general. Yeah, about 2.30 was kind of the peak, general peak for Algorand during that one bull run. Cloudy Vibes says I've been buying for 6 years. Well, there's a lot of very. There's some buying periods where if you had bought, you'd still be up right now. But most people are DCAing, so it's probably much higher than that. And like I've said myself, I have no idea because there's so many like things that I do in Algorand, it would be nearly impossible to get a profit and loss. It's one of the things I like. A chart is brutal. It's a brutal chart. It is absolutely a brutal chart. Not gonna lie. I mean, if you look at if we compare that to Hedera's all time. Interesting, they have a DEX mode here now. I mean, you got kind of the same element where, it's launched at 40 cents and then immediately dropped, but I don't think a lot of people are buying around this area. Now, I bought mine. I was probably buying around here, generally speaking. So it's not the only brutal chart, but this, even now, I'm still up just a little under 2x on my HBAR. So, HBAR, not the greatest looking chart, but not even close to, not even close to Algorand. So I think we got to put things in perspective sometimes. And you guys know I'm not a shill. As much as I like the tech on Algorand, I think the projects work incredibly well. And I think there's a lot of opportunity on Algorand, especially now with Haystack doing automatic yield. I think that's That's really awesome. Although apparently I tested this out. Apparently you can only send Algorand to Haystack unless I'm misunderstanding that, because I tried to send some Munko and it never showed up. I just sent like five Munko just to test it. Always test first. If you're unsure about something, by the way, always send a test amount just to be sure, so you don't accidentally do something dumb. Because I know if there's something dumb to be done, I will probably do it. So just it's just something to keep in mind. Let's move on. Speaking of Haystack, let's move on to Haystack, and we actually have some news. Well, no, I don't have any news around Haystack, but brutal as you may expect, Nugget's up a little bit. That's kind of cool. Something called Nova is up 50%. Akita is up again. That's good because it was falling quite a bit. Where is Akita? Not on the main page. They used to boost. I don't think they've been boosting. Green Blue says I bought a lot before governance period one and accelerated vesting. Oops. Algo is doing great and is in a great position, not price-wise, but doing everything right. Well, that's fine, but at the end of the day, the price has to go up too. Are people just going to lose interest? That's just the way it is. We can kid ourselves and say, you know, it's all about the tech, but at the end of the day, if people don't get a return on their money, a lot of people will start wondering why am I doing this. And I personally haven't been holding, like I ended up with a bunch of Algorand at the end, but like it was in other things for a long time. It was in liquidity pools. It was making yield there, playing around with different projects. I mean, I got a whole slate of experiments I'm running. If you guys, anybody who's a channel member has seen those on a day-to-day basis, and I'll be releasing those as full videos soon. By some really Haystack took a big hit on the week, as did Folks Finance, down to below $2. So if either one of these, if you believe in the long-term prospects of it, that might be a good buy. Tiny has really dropped a ton. This is a tenth of what it was. Its floor was not that long ago. Sure, a lot of people felt the same with gold and silver. Yeah, maybe. Those charts don't look nearly as brutal. Even taking out the recent gains, they still didn't look nearly that brutal. Sanji Flair says buy. If your conviction is strong, then this is the stuff you're waiting for. I've definitely bought the dip on Bitcoin. By the way, every time I've tested, whenever I've tested, I did a long experiment where I ran DeFi pools and liquidity pools and different kinds. My theory was that you would lose more in price depreciation than you would gain in APY, which pretty much happened across the board. I also ran a control group. I ran a control group for Bitcoin, and my Bitcoin pretty much outperformed every single one. Sold all my silver at a 6x profit. Took 10 years for that though. Not bad. I buy every dip. So I've been buying dips on Bitcoin, and my new strategy with Bitcoin is buy and hold. But I've taken profits on everything else because you know what? You just can't count on things in crypto all the time. You gotta take wins. You gotta lock in some of those wins when you're up. And so my bull run portfolio, which you know I share every week on the channel member videos, completely de-risked. And by the way, this is a good chance to give a shout out to Haystack. I've got a link in the description. This is the best way to trade on mobile. And if you're not into trading, one of the cool features that they just added that I think is awesome is that you can take the anything you have, any assets that you have sitting idle on Haystack will automatically find yield. So if there's yield for it, they will get. Algorand looks like a good buy for the next buy. I assume you mean bull cycle. I think the bear bull case on crypto is going to look very different going forward. 10 years for that and not bad, but complaining about 4 to 5 years. Well, 4 to 5 years of nothing though. There's a lot of assumptions that are baked into that, is my point. And so you got to be kind of careful with, bull cycle. I think those cycles are going to look very different. You know, they already look different. We really didn't get a full, we got kind of a bull run on Bitcoin, got up to what, 125, something like that. Definitely did not have much of an alt season. We had that little, bump that was decent back in over a year ago now. And that's about all we got. So yeah, I don't know. I do enjoy the tech though. Yep, that's the one I'm talking about, 9 cents to 62 cents. I don't, to me, that's not a, if you think that's a bull run, you haven't been through a bull run. It went up to two, like we just shared, the last real bull run we had, Algorand went up to 240. And it had a similar one, earlier than that. There's usually a little bump up. We had that little bump up, and we did not have the big alt season. So maybe we will. I don't know. I'm not, I am trimming my position in Algorand, but I'm not getting rid of it, and I'm not getting rid of any of my other coins. I'm just holding on. We'll see what happens. Plenty of other ways to make money. I've been DCAing into gold, and that's been a good... Look, Mel Gold's actually up to number 212 now. It is on here. It's not on here. I'm not sure what that... Oh, it does. I'm not sure what the difference is between the ones up here and the ones down here. All right, let's, do we have Algorand? From what to what? Let's see. Actually, I gotta go. Okay, I gotta go back to coin. Let's make this point. Just give me a second here. You know, the point was made, so let's see. Algorand. We still got the 1 year. Is it going to pull up the 1 year? I hope so. Oh, sorry. Oh. Well, from about 15 cents. So you do the math. You know, from a low of maybe 14, 15 cents, 16. Conservatively, that's way more than a 10x at the very top. So that's a lot different than a 4x. I think we can agree about that. Sanjeev Flav says, will HMR reach at least $5 in the very distant future? I mean, who knows? Maybe. I just don't think there's a lot of value in predictions. I think anyone that thinks they can actually predict where a coin is going to go is full of bananas, frankly. I think it's more important to read signals and to basically have a strategy for when it's up and it's down. And then you follow the strategy. It's just that simple. But let's go on to... And I get it. You know, you get way more viewers if you say, if you make like wild crypto predictions, but I just believe in being honest and... Being honest is important, and you got to be honest about your investments. I just see a lot of people not doing that. I think Algorand has great tech, but that doesn't matter if the market doesn't care. And I see a lot more, I'm seeing a ton of adoption on HBAR. People are like joining this thing left and right. And I think it's because, and the reason I like HBAR is because I think the governing council has a lot of big tech names. And I think when people see that, when companies see like, oh, Google is attached to this, IBM is attached to this, that gives them confidence because crypto is like kind of the Wild West still in a lot of ways, you know, and I know we're getting a lot more adoption from institutions, but comparatively, I mean, it's still something where it's like, what is this crypto stuff? I don't know. It's a little, whatever. But then they see IBM, they see Google, they see LG, they see Samsung, they see big names attached to Hedera, and I think that gives them confidence. And that's a factor that's pretty important. So that's why I think Hedera has had a ton of enterprise and government too interest lately. Yeah, so similarly, looking like a bloodbath on Hedera, and Sanjay Flav says, I love the transparency. You bet, man. I just try to keep it real, you know? I'm not gonna blow smoke up your butt. Not what I'm here for. Sauce really dropping. You like H card because he's still up and bought low. Yeah, I do. Well, I do like that. I mean, yeah. Yeah, that's usually a good thing when you're buying a coin. You like it to be up. Are you kidding me? There's a lot of other reasons I like HBAR though, but that definitely doesn't hurt. Like, listen, I said the same thing about Solana. You know, I think it's like the tech is bad. You know, I just tried out Pump.Fun. And I thought it was I really didn't like it. I thought it had a lot of stuff that is, how would I put this? It had a lot of promise. I think there's some cool stuff with Pump.Fun but then like functionally, it just didn't work very well for what I wanted it for. But the price pumps, people like it. The thing that pumps price in crypto is different than the tech. I remember Algo asked to actually pay for partnerships, apparently, which I think is I still maintain is absolutely ridiculous. I can see like giving a saying, okay, for 6 months we're gonna subsidize this thing just as a proof of concept, but like having to like incentivize them to use their tech just seems crazy to me. It'll always seem crazy, and that doesn't give me a lot of confidence. BSL, I don't know what's up with this coin, but it is up almost 10%. Haven't really heard of it, don't know anything about it, but interesting market mover. Otherwise, yeah, everything's up pretty much down a little bit or even close to even. Not a lot of, you know, GC is up a little bit. I guess that's probably based on gold. But everything, yeah. Not a lot to get excited about on the Hedera meme coin. Look at H Barbarian down 15%. I think we talked about this one being up the last time we ran. This is the DAI version on... Why is that up? Isn't that a stable coin? Huh. Well, anyway, that is... yeah, like I said, not a lot on the H Bar news to get excited about. So I guess we will... take a look at some Algorand news. I actually have some cool stuff to say on here. I'm gonna try to work on my intros a little bit. I got a comment that my intros weren't very good. All right, you know the story with segments. I don't address comments that are outside the scope of the segment. So we will get to that. Algorand just released its transparency report, and some of the numbers are looking fantastic. We're going to dive into the transparency report. We're going to look below the hood and find out what's really going on here. So let's dive into this latest transparency report for quarter four. This is right from the Algorand Foundation, just released this morning. Algorand's Q4 transparency report is live. Transaction volume, RWA TVL, stablecoins, and parawallet creation and user retention all grew with community stake increasing. Read the full report below, and we're going to do that. Let's look. Before we do that, I do want to highlight they're shouting out transactions surpassing 3.4 billion transactions in total, a 4.7% increase quarter over quarter. Real world TVL increased to 109 million. Stablecoin market cap grew 28%. This actually fluctuates quite a bit from what I've seen, but interesting to look at that. Community stake at 80%. That's a pretty important metric. We'll dive into that when we get to it. Pair a new wallet creation up 20% and daily active users up 46%. So those are really good numbers. Let's see if it shows anything interesting. This is pretty much what we shared. The following overview explains ALGO and USD movements during the period organized by the Foundation's responsibilities in three areas: spending allocated by the community towards incentives, direct spending on ecosystem development via Foundation's equity token investments, loans, and investments in third-party funds, spending by the Foundation to support and grow the Algorand ecosystem. Here's the balance. Looks like they spent 40,000. 40,000 ALGO. Is that, am I correct about that? Being that the holdings went down from 100 and, by the way, I think they forgot to fill this out right here. Not sure what that's supposed to be. 40,000 ALGO. So not a lot. That was actually pretty low spending if that's the case. Or is this in, hold on a second. Oh, I get it. This is in, so actually that's 40 million ALGO. That's quite a bit more. Yeah, that makes sense because this is 1 billion. So they got 2 billion left, spend about 40 million of that. Now, we had seen about 500 million a year. That's a decrease for sure. So that's good. Yeah, I always forgot these types of reports are always reported in thousands. Makes the numbers easier to read. But yeah, 38 million in structured and OTC selling. Remember at one point they told us they weren't going to do this anymore. And now they, looks like they are again, kind of breaking down where they go. A lot of it went to staking rewards, 20 million of that actually. So, I mean, it's not like they're funding operations with that. That's going right to securing the network. At some point that's going to go away. And I'm kind of curious what will happen to the nodes once that happens. Here they just flat out say, Foundation sold 38 million ALGO during the reporting period through structured selling. Daily sales are limited to the lesser of two constraints, a fixed daily amount based on projected medium-term volumes, a small percentage of the estimated total market volume on a given day. Sales are automatically halted if there is a 10% price drop or price drops below a fixed threshold. And the Foundation can halt sales at any time at its discretion. You can see the wallets here, so you can check it out for yourself. And then they have the community allocated spend, going back to governance, still spending about 3 million ALGO on governance. With the launch of the new platform, the XGov community approved a total of 6 grant proposals, ranging from 25,000 ALGO to 200,000, totaling 500,000 ALGO. So, I mean, that's kind of a drop in the bucket compared to how much structured selling is going on, but most of it's going to staking is what it looks like here. And repaid in full a 24 million ALGO loan originally made to support market making services. They got that from XBTO. So, well, that's good. They got some money back. Increased the existing loan to Para by 340,000. So remember, Para used to be the official Algorand wallet. And, you know, can you really say it's not anymore? Because it's still really funded by the Algorand Foundation. And to be fair, you know, I don't know what a wallet would do to regain its, you know, what would it actually sell? Or would it make money in fees? I don't know. They supported the Algorand campaign, including the weekly VRF executions. We got to see the VRF draw, which turned out it actually gave, they didn't plan for, sorry, this isn't more visible. Maybe we can move this over a little bit. They actually had XGov bug bounty program as well. Now remember, the VRF draw actually gave money to some scam accounts, or at least initially named them the winner. And what happened is they weeded some of those out, so it went to appropriate people who were not gaming the system. AlgoKit, PuyaPy compiler upgraded for 5 times faster compilation with 80% reduction in parsing times. Eliminated approximately 17-second indexing delays and achieved 17 to 51% faster startup times. I guess that's good, right? And LoRa enhancements, expanded transaction wizard to support app creation and updates. Para, like we said, new creation increased 20% and daily active users retention increased 40, 6% now. Is that retention or is that growth? So the way I read that before, it was a growth in active users, but this says retention. That's a different thing. So I'm not sure 100% what they mean there. The Lucky Spin game apparently is back. I think you need to. I still have to replace my iPhone, so I think it's too old to use it. Paracard is now available in the Netherlands, Poland, Portugal, Romania, Greece, Hungary, and Ireland. Guessing they're waiting for the Clarity Act before it goes live in the U.S. because we're still waiting. Total spend in the quarter increased 80%. And the number of spend transactions increased 175%. Last we checked, by the way, these numbers were pretty low. So, you know, an increase is good, but an increase for a small amount is still a small amount, generally speaking. New partnership with Noah and Coinify enable additional USDC payment functionality for builders on Algorand, cross-chain interoperability, Wormhole NTT opened. And then the new interoperability partnership with Para that happened this year, so it wouldn't be in that corner. Yeah, they got a lot of updates on impact, and I think this stuff is interesting, but I think we're really interested in the numbers. The shouting out the Big Easy A hackathon, which I thought was pretty cool, actually. The Easy A guys are very fascinating, and they have a big impact in the crypto ecosystem. They have the attention of Wall Street. They've been on the New York Stock Exchange. So nice to see them partnering with Algorand. We actually covered the live stream on X, so that was fun. Let's see, Devrel. Cloudy Vibe says, Foundation is working on everything you can think of. They always 10 steps ahead of every other ecosystem. YCATS, giving a chat. Well, thanks for watching, YCATS. Appreciate that. Just see if there's anything else really interesting. Algorand Accelerator, Capify, they four projects that launched in quarter four from the Accelerator program. It's Capify, which is first and third party cross-border payments, Zinta, a B2B cross-border payments, Konfio, peer-to-peer stablecoin payments app in Argentina. That sounds really useful. And Genghis, which is a gift card marketplace. T-Hub, Innovation Hub in India. They launched solutions. These include Green Trust Protocol, Invera, Inventory Management System, Proofmint. It's a credential verification solution, and Edubank, on-chain CV builder, among a whole bunch of other stuff. This is getting really long. I'm just trying to find some stuff that's a total of 79,000 register wallets. You know, what we saw too, by the way, they're not including this here, but there is a tiny number of this that actually made it to the end. So a lot of people entered the first one and then they just dropped off. I know it is a transparency report, but I know they are kind of presenting things that, you know, they're trying to present a good picture. I get that, but it is a transparency report. And I think they should probably be a little more, they should share, you know, the good and the bad, I think, in my opinion. Let's see. LinkedIn audience grew, engagement rate increased. Total impressions, engagements. X grew by 5,000. Engagement, yeah, blah, blah, blah. I don't care. That's nice. I'm glad they're growing. Page visits on their Reddit actually went down. I haven't been using their Reddit at all. And you can see, yeah, they're posting way less, so they're getting way less visits. That makes sense. And I can't stand Telegram. I really can't. Speaking engagements, events. By the way, when's the next? I mean, I haven't heard anything about the next event. You know, the next Decipher. And last time, I thought they really didn't give a lot of time for people to plan. I thought. Cloudy says they already know they're going to run out of algo. Yeah, I think the hope is that the fees will be enough to incentivize people, and I'm just not sure about that. I guess we'll see. There's fees generated in algo. That's actually kind of a lot. I'll have to do some math on that. TVL on algo, and you can see in algo it's going up, but in US dollar it's going down. It's one of the challenges. I'm actually glad they do it this way because it's kind of important to see these two. I'd like to see like a delta between these two that kind of shows that would be a good metric actually for growth. TVL breakdown, folks finance being most of it, and then X-Algo liquid staking being most of the rest of it, then Tiny Man, and then everything else is a tiny sliver. That's Kamada still in there? I thought Kamada shut down. Like, I thought they shut down way before this. Okay, maybe I'm wrong about that. Well, these numbers are pretty interesting anyway. Here's what they count, by the way, for RWA TVL, like real world TVL, Lofty, Meld Gold, and ASA.Gold. Numbers of accounts opened. Yes, we got a lot of interesting stuff. Transactions. Well, that doesn't look good, does it? On-chain transactions have actually been going down. Wonder what they were counting. Oh, I see. So compared to this is where you have to get into the details, right? Because they made it look like transactions are going up, but if you look at this. This is a slow, steady decline. That's actually kind of concerning. This is why I was talking about stablecoin too. Actually, that's also kind of decreasing. And I think that's all we got, just a bunch of disclaimers. So that is, let's go back to here. And that is the transparency report. We have more though. Tiny Man's split router feature is live. They are upgrading how the swaps work on the biggest DEX in the Algorand Foundation DeFi ecosystem with a smarter, more efficient routing engine. Here's how it works. It's an upgraded swap router that splits your trade across multiple available routes in calculated proportions to get you the best possible price. As trade sizes grow, so does price impact. So by intelligently splitting trades across routes, split router reduces slippage and boosts your output. The real impact is T-Algo ASA pools now get more volume exposure. Routes are optimized for maximum output. Slippage is reduced by distributing input and better prices than ever before. So instead of using one liquidity pool, the router checks all available routes and dynamically splits your input to squeeze out the most value. For more efficient liquidity usage, that gives you better results. The best part, no extra platform fees for using the split router, just better trades automatically. So I'll say their token has been doing terrible, but that's some nice innovation there. So good to see that. Great for Tiny Man, but we got more. And this is second to last item. Realms Fighter is live. So, Realms is a cross-chain virtual world, as they say, which is still coming soon. It's been coming soon for a while, but they have been making games. And the latest out is Fighter.Realms. So you can battle it out using your favorite NFT meme coin characters from multiple blockchains. So that's live now. They hope to have 100 characters. Eventually, they got 30 right now. And just as an announcement, yours truly may be becoming a character in this game. Still thinking about it. There's actually a cost involved, which I didn't realize. And we'll see. Else, I'm deciding if it's worth it or not. But it would be pretty cool to have yourself as a character in a video game. So we're thinking about it here. Now, phase two, they're going to include blockchain integration. So you'll be able to buy different costumes for characters with a share of the income going to the original projects involved, which is kind of neat. They plan to release the game on Google Play and Steam in the next few weeks. Now, that would be wild, right? That'd be super weird if people can like dress me up in characters. I gotta think about how I feel about that. Take part from February Weekly Fight Club. So I haven't tried it out. I want to try this game out. It sounds really interesting. Here's what it looks like. We're not going to turn the sound on. There's Marcus doing a little fighting. There's actually a John Woods character. I don't know if he comes up in this preview. I saw him somewhere. There's Nyla, and that's Sylvia McCauley. Akita and Dork fighting each other. That's kind of neat. Apparently you need a license key, around $20 to play the game. That seems like a lot. Yeah, we got some pudgy penguins going on there, and node keepers. Orange, which is like a big mecha orange, is kind of neat. Fighting Noah. Ghetto pigeons there. Yeah, so I don't know. It looks pretty cool. I think it's kind of cool. I'm still debating, like I said, whether I actually want to be in this game, but might be kind of neat, huh? Let me know in the chat if you think I should become a character in this game. So Cloudy says the game is out. They just posted, Realms just posted this yesterday that the fighter is live, so I don't know what you're talking about. And then last but not least, this was interesting. I don't want to delve into too much, but so a lot of people got sent this Nugget token accidentally. The coin completely crashed. And so they accidentally sent out like several billion of these tokens. And they're trying to ask some people that maybe they return it so it can go to the liquidity pools. I don't know if they got any. I know one of my friends here on Twitter got accused of stealing I don't even entirely know what he got accused of, but there's been some drama around this. I don't know if there's like a ton to talk about. The price has recovered somewhat, although it's, you know, like everything else, it's starting to go down, but that's that. So, yeah, I thought that was kind of interesting. And I think that's the end of our Algorand segment today. I don't think the fighter has been live. Yeah, even Cosmic Chance is posting, our friends at Realm just dropped their fighter game. And they were giving out some game keys to celebrate. Anyway, any change in... Bitcoin popping up a little bit, but otherwise, yeah, there's a little positive activity going on in crypto lately, but nothing too exciting. I do want to cover this Fed chair news, and then I think we'll probably be done for today. By the way, if you guys have not hit the like button already, I appreciate you doing so. It's completely free to do and helps share the stream to more people. And of course, if you're not only subscribed, you can do so. I see a couple people subscribed already. Yeah, I know they started with a racing game. The fighter is live. That's what we're talking about. You wake up on the wrong side of the bed, dude? HBAR on Robinhood is in the green. ZLS is up 45%, says BTS. HBAR is ever so slightly green on the 24-hour from what I'm looking at. Ever so slightly. I don't know if I get too excited about that. HBAR is trading on Robinhood. Yep, we covered that a while ago. Still no Algorand, though. Which I think is crazy. I mean, it's crazy. Why wouldn't you have, if you have everything else, I don't see, if you want to like have crypto trading on your platform, I don't see why you wouldn't have every single coin in the top 100. Of course you would. Why not? Well, anyway, President Trump just announced that the new there's a new head. Let me start over. President Trump just announced a new nomination for his next Federal Reserve chair, replacing Colin Powell. Not Colin Powell. I'm really screwing this up. Let me start that again. Wow. President Trump just announced his new pick for the Federal Reserve chair. And how does he think about crypto? Why don't we look at this post about him? And we've actually got a video clip of him talking about crypto. So why don't we dive into this? All right, this is from Crypto Yuna, breaking. This is translated from Korean, by the way, just to be clear. Breaking: President Trump officially nominates Kevin Warsh as the next Federal Reserve Chair. Announced as the successor following Jerome Powell's term ending May 2026, praising him as a great Fed chair, perhaps the greatest of all time. Well, that's interesting. Now, wait a minute. Is he did he praise Jerome Powell as the greatest Fed chair of all time? That would be very different than. Oh, anyway, let's just get to Warsh here. Served as Fed governor, youngest ever at age 35. Stanford and Harvard graduate, former party of Stanley Druckenmiller, Hoover Institution fellow. His monetary policy reform report was adopted by the British Parliament. Trump says longtime acquaintance, he will never disappoint. The perfect casting for the central bank. Casting is a funny way to put it. Key points from a crypto perspective. Warsh, previously skeptical of Bitcoin, but recently stated Bitcoin is a sustainable store of value like gold. So apparently now leaning pro crypto. Hawkish stance, tough on inflation, recent support for lower rates aligns with Trump's style. So that's interesting. A lot of comments in Korean, but let's see. We actually have a video. I hate the way it autoplays, by the way. Oops, we should be on this one. Here we go. So let's see what he has to say.
You made reference to Bitcoin, and I thought I heard a little bit of condescension that people are buying Bitcoin and these things.
But doesn't it, right? Charlie Munger, this is 2 or 3 years before he died, Charlie Munger attacked Bitcoin. He called it evil, in part because it would begin to undermine the Fed's ability to manage the economy.
Or it could provide market discipline, or it could tell the world that things need to be fixed.
Bitcoin does not make you nervous.
Bitcoin does not make me nervous. I can hearken back to a dinner I had here in 2011 with someone who is another guest on your show. I won't say his name. Okay, I just did Marc Andreessen, who showed me the white paper. That was the original white paper. I wish I had understood his.
I love how he did that. I'm not going to name him. Oh, wait, actually, yeah, I will.
Clearly, as he did, how transformative Bitcoin and this new technology would be. Bitcoin doesn't trouble me. I think of it as an important asset that can help inform policymakers when they're doing things right and wrong. It is not a substitute to the dollar, I think.
I agree with that last part, but what does he mean by it would help inform policy? I wonder what he, I guess I don't fully understand what he's actually saying there.
It can often be a very good policeman for policy. And if I were to speak more broadly to what did Charlie Munger and others perhaps have in mind, there is a proliferation of securities that go under all sorts of names. Many, if not most of them, are not worth what they're might be tr being traded for. So what did Charlie say, and maybe his pal Warren say? There's the innovators, the imitators, and the incompetents. They're real innovators that are happening in and around that new technology. And what I would try to impart towards businesses and bankers is that the underlying technology that Mark showed me in that white paper, or tried to show me in that white paper, it's just software. It's just the newest, coolest software that will provide us an ability to do things that we could never have done before.
I think it's more than software. I think that's it's an undersell for sure. The promise of Bitcoin is that it's immutable, and that's a lot different. I guess you can make that argument, but this seems like a bizarre way to word it, I guess. I kind of quibble with that a bit.
Or can the software be used for good and evil? Yes, both, like all software. So I don't cast aspersions like that. If there's a final point, it's these technologies are being built here. I don't just mean on Stanford campus. I believe in the United States. And the world's most talented engineers from China and Europe and everywhere, they come to the United States even now to try to build this stuff. And my view is by building it here, that gives us an opportunity to be more productive and create something very special over the next decade.
Well, definitely an interesting take. I guess that's much more positive. But do we also, how much is the Fed chair actually going to have involvement with Bitcoin? Like I hear him saying it's like part of a signal, but wasn't really specific about what that signal would be and how it would impact his job. So interesting. I guess we'll see how that plays out when, assuming his nomination is approved, right? So speaking of government, I thought this was kind of interesting. And this is from Ondo Finance. Someone in the chat was asking about Ondo Finance, and they are commenting on the SEC's recent statement about tokenization. So Ondo says, "We welcome the SEC's thoughtful statement on tokenized securities, recognizing several different tokenization models present in the market today. Ondo's tokenization roadmap, published in December, aligned with many of the SEC's observations and emphasized that several different models hold the promise of finding substantial investor interest on-chain. That diversity of options is a strength of the U.S. financial system, and we are delighted to see SEC continue to support the growing number of investors choosing to hold tokenized U.S. securities and ETFs. We are also pleased that the SEC expressly recognized linked debt security models like Ondo Global Markets tokens, which have seen rapid investor adoption and received EU regulatory approval since launching in September. We look forward to continuing to work with the SEC to bring global markets and other securities tokenization models to U.S. customers quickly and responsibly." So what was the statement? Let's see what the statement was. Here's the highlighted part. "Tokenized securities generally fall into two categories: securities tokenized by or on behalf of the issuers of such securities, and two, securities tokenized by third parties unaffiliated with the issuers of such securities. The statement is intended to assist market participants as they seek to comply with the federal security laws and prepare to submit any necessary registrations, proposals, or requests for appropriate action to the commission or its staff. We stand ready to engage regarding any questions." So basically, tokenized securities that are issued by the people who are running it. In other words, I'm running my own, or I'm a third party running tokenized securities on behalf of other ones. And, you know, the thing I heard this talked about is like this, you know, tokenized assets don't really change they don't really change the security laws, or they don't operate in a different realm from standard securities. So all the same things still apply, right? It's just a matter of, you know, the fact that they're going to be able to be traded a lot faster. We get the New York Stock Exchange, which is going to be putting all its trading on chain, which means 24/7 trading versus Friday at 5. Everything ends until Monday at, 8, 9 o'clock, I think, when they start. So, I mean, that's a big change, but it doesn't change security laws themselves. All that stuff will still apply. And so this is, you know, I don't know if you'd call this bullish or bearish. It's just saying like, yeah, we're going to, you know, we're not seeing it any differently, both from a positive or a negative standpoint. It's just going to follow the same rules that everything else does in crypto. So I just wanted to highlight that. We got Ondo. Someone was asking about Ondo in the chat, and I thought that was a good one to talk about. Yeah, meanwhile, I got a lot of stuff going on in the world, which is interesting. But I think that's all I had. Did I have anything I'm going to save that one. I got a couple Hedera things, but I'm going to save those, I think. Well, I thought this Multiverse X post, since we're just kind of doing general crypto news, and it's around AI, so I thought this was interesting. We're officially releasing the Multiverse X AI skills for agentic building, along with the best practices and AI workflows for organizations, projects, developers, and entrepreneurs. Now, I've been telling you guys that the big use case for crypto, whether that be Algorand, HBAR, apparently Multiverse X now too, is in AI agent-to-agent payment. So we cover like Go Plausible has been doing some awesome stuff around the AI realm. Hedera has studios for this built for different AI aspects, agents and LLMs and the whole thing. And now we got Multiverse also. So they basically have a repository on GitHub, and that is a central hub for Multiverse X AI expertise. It provides a collection of specialized skills designed to equip AI agents with the deep technical knowledge required to build, audit, and optimize on Multiverse X. So if you're a developer, you're looking for AI, and you're into the Multiverse ecosystem, there it is. But like pretty much, I think this is the new realm where crypto is really going to shine. I think it's the use case that, frankly, crypto has been looking for a while. So just want to put that out there. I think that was interesting. And I think that is all our crypto news for today. Interesting chat. A lot of hate going on for Robinhood. You know, I get it. Like I said, I think they should have Algorand on it. It just doesn't make sense to not have everything that's in the top 100 and has been there for a while on their platform. But also, I don't really have any interest in trading crypto there. I used it for stocks, and I've done really well in some of those stocks, by the way, mostly just trading whatever Nancy trades. So she's leaving, so that's a problem for me. But yeah, thanks for tuning in today. No comments about whether I should be a Rams fighter character. I thought more people might be interested in that. Everyday Algonaut, what do you think about EURUSD? I don't know much about it, to be honest. So I guess not much. A little smaller of a audience today, but you know, lively in the chat. I like that. But I don't think I have much more to say, and I think we're kind of running out. I'm a little concerned about this, the arrest of Don Lemon. I don't think we should be arresting journalists. I am not the biggest fan of Don Lemon. I think he's kind of ridiculous. This is the guy who said, Sanja Flay says you should definitely be a fighter. I'll main your character. Perfect. I like it. This is someone who didn't understand that a misdemeanor was a crime, which I don't know how you can be a journalist and not, you know, I did my time on the crime desk. Okay. So that I would be embarrassed and mortified to have that on film of me saying something so stupid. But that being said, I think we have a First Amendment, and one of the principles I care about most is the First Amendment. So I'm very troubled by that. I feel like the Trump administration is just making a series of self-owns, and that is one of the latest ones. I don't think that's going to go well. So very concerned about that. That's just trending right now. And otherwise, I'm not really here for that. We're here for crypto, but hopefully things turn around a little bit. Meanwhile, I guess I'll have to take comfort in my gold and stocks doing well. So that's about it for today. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate that. Have a nice